Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me, my heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes, when I sit down and when I rise, and from afar thou art discerning my thoughts and hopes, my secret yearning.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. We welcome you all to our Perseverance family this morning. And as always, let's invite the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mary Most Holy, to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God, her greatest title, Theotokos. Mary is the Mother of the Church, the mystical body of Christ. And Mary also is the Mother of each and every one of us. We cry out to Mary, especially now more than ever, with the words, Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let's turn to Mary with the prayer that she loves most. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. We call out to the Holy Spirit as our counselor to give us good counsel, our consoler to encourage us in our struggles. He's also known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the mutual bond of love between the Father and the Son. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, and the mutual love between Father and Son is the Holy Spirit. Also, the Holy Spirit is, as St. Paul says, our interior master. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Abba, Father. Also, the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. All of us are called to become saints, and the key is union and docility to the Holy Spirit. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit, keenly aware of our own dignity through baptism and through sanctified grace, that the Holy Spirit is the sweet guest of our souls. Let's ask Him to give us a lot of light, a lot of peace, a lot of joy, a lot of strength today as we sing. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Now on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, Mold us, fill us, use us, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Ignatius, pray for us. Saint Michael, Saint Gabriel, Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Matthew, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We welcome you all to our Perseverance family. And today we have, as always, wonderful readings. The first reading will be taken from the book of Proverbs. And then we will be going to Luke chapter 8, verse 19 to 21. Very short verse that refers to Mary Most Holy in the public life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. However, before delving into the infinite ocean of God's wisdom present in sacred scripture, I'd like to finish up with St. Matthew. Felt that there's much more to be said about St. Matthew, and what I'd like to do is just point out what were the gifts that were given to St. Matthew because of his generosity in hearing the call of Christ. Don't forget that Matthew was a publican, tax collector. Most certainly he had money, he had his position, authority, had a lot of friends, a lot of pleasure, had banquets, had a lot of security for his future. So Matthew, by listening to Christ who said, come and follow me, Matthew gave up all of that. Talk about a radical renunciation. Everything they had on a human, social, economic plane, he gave it up. And immediately, as if he burnt all of his bridges of the past, to follow in the footsteps of Christ. Indeed, it was very radical. Yesterday I asked you at the end of our conversation, what are you still attached to that's preventing you from following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ fully and totally? I was able to mention Principle and Foundation of St. Ignatius, and the second, rather the last part of Principle and Foundation, Ignatius reminds us of the concept of holy indifference, which is truly holy liberty, not to prefer a long life to a short life, not to prefer health over sickness, not to prefer riches over poverty, not to prefer honors over humiliations, but to choose what's most conducive to the end for which we're created, which is the honor and glory of God and the salvation of our souls. That was your last challenge, to meditate upon that and bring that to the Lord, because we all have attachments. And if I wanted to give you a handful of diamonds and you had your hand filled with sawdust, you'd have to first relinquish and leave the sawdust so that I could fill your hands with diamonds. For clinging to the world and its values, we cannot cling to the hands of Jesus and Mary. We want to cling to the hands of Jesus and Mary in our lives. So Matthew, because of his great generosity, was given great gifts. Great gifts. And these gifts that Matthew was given by the Lord redound to our own benefit 2,000 years later. It's interesting how one individual, by saying yes to God, can influence people even 2,000 years later. You might call this the time effect, the domino effect with respect to time. So what are the gifts that Jesus gave to him in return for his great generosity? Number one, Matthew was given the grace to be one of the apostles of Christ, the 12 apostles of Christ. Now, Jesus wanted to establish friendship with many people. There are 72 disciples, but there are 12 apostles. And Matthew was in that inner group because he decided to leave everything to follow Christ. Apostle is a word that comes from Greek. An apostle means to be sent. I'm going to try to apply all these gifts of St. Matthew to us. If we can learn to relinquish and give up what we're clinging to, which is really not of God, then God can take us, use us, and send us. Apostle means to be sent. But remember the order and the dynamic that is given to us by Fulton Sheen. First come, then go. First come, then go. Come to me and I will make you fishers of men. Then the last words of Jesus in the Gospel of St. Matthew, go out to all nations, teaching them all I taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And behold, I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. So like Matthew, if we can renounce our attachments, then we can hold the hands of Jesus and Mary, and they can send us. Jesus said, I've come to cast fire on the earth, and I'm not in peace until that fire be kindled. An apostle, a true apostle, has fire. That fire comes from the heart of Christ, from Pentecost. So that's the first. The second gift that Christ bestowed upon St. Matthew, and he wants to bestow upon us. Matthew was called to be an evangelist. What does the word evangelist mean? Matthew was in the inner group of four, the four that wrote the Gospels, the word Evangelio means good news. Matthew wrote the first Gospel. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This gospel written by Matthew was basically addressed to the Jews that would become followers of Christ, in which many passages from the Old Testament are actually cited. So Matthew studied the Word of God. He knew the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. He wrote the Word of God. And he put into practice the Word of God. So what do we learn if we can say no to our selfishness and our pride? We're going to be going through the Proverbs today, in which the Proverbs are really warning us against arrogance and pride and self-love. We've got to be careful. If we can allow the Lord to take possession of us so that the spirit of arrogance and pride and self-love and narcissism do not dominate us, then God can work miracles in us. So in honor of St. Matthew, we should love the Word of God. I hope as we grow together as a family and my talks, my reflections, the points that we leave with you, I hope that you're getting to know and love the Word of God more and more. Now that's the very heart of our perseverance conversation as we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about Matthew because Matthew is in the Word of God and he actually gave us the Word of God. In a conversation I had with a couple other people in my Ignatian forum, I said, what would happen if Matthew said no? We might only have three Gospels, Mark, Luke, and John. But thanks to the yes of Matthew, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thanks be to God. Thank you, St. Matthew, for saying yes to the call of Christ, who said, come and follow me. What else? Matthew was called also to be a missionary. He sent to Persia, and according to tradition, he ended up in Ethiopia. In Ethiopia, there he was put to death for Christ. You know, you're called to be a missionary. You're called to be a missionary. You're baptized. You're baptized, you're anointed as priest, prophet, and king. Prophet means that we're called to announce, to preach the Word of God. Now, with respect to the missionary work, two greatest missionaries last century, beyond a shadow of doubt, would be Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and then St. John Paul II. Those are the two greatest missionaries the world had last century, maybe the last millennium. Never was there a pope that traveled so much in his 26-year pontificate. With respect to distance travel, he would have circled the globe I don't know how many times. John Paul II was a true missionary. And one of his many encyclicals was that of Missio Redentoris. In English, the mission of the Redeemer. And he says this, that we're all from baptism called to be missionaries. We're called to announce the Word of God. John Paul II said that the best mission territory today would be the big cities. I happen to be in the city of Los Angeles. Many of you are with me. And the city of Los Angeles, the Diocese of Los Angeles, divided in five different regions, is the biggest diocese in the whole country. There are millions and millions and millions of Catholics here. Because of the pandemic, because of the economic crisis, because of social and political unrest, Many Catholics are confused today. As a result of our perseverance class, you're called to be a missionary. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. The light is not called to be placed underneath the bushel basket, but placed on the desktop, so that all by seeing you will give glory to God the Father who's in heaven. What is the biggest number of religious individuals in our country? It would be fallen away Catholics. Catholics that were baptized, many confirmed and made their first communion, but they've drifted away. That's the biggest number. Do you know most Mormons used to be Catholics? Most Jehovah's Witnesses used to be Catholics. Many Protestants used to be Catholics. So related to St. Matthew and his work and his mission and his gifts, pray over this. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is the way in which you can be a missionary and bring back the lax Catholics, the fallen away Catholics, bring them back to the fold? By your prayer, your penance, your word, and your example. Matthew, indeed, was a great missionary. The fourth gift that Jesus gave to Matthew was when they celebrated Mass yesterday, came out in red. Why red is because it's the color of blood. Now all the apostles were given the extraordinary grace to end their lives as martyrs. The word martyr means witness. Witnessing to Christ's love by shedding their blood as Christ himself shed his blood on the cross for us. Paul was beheaded. So was St. James. St. Peter was crucified upside down. St. Bartholomew or Nathaniel was flayed alive, then decapitated. St. Andrew died on the cross, crucified in the form of an X and hung on the cross for several days, giving his last homily from the cross. Matthew, Andrew means manly, strong. We are called to be martyrs in one way or another. Servant of God, Pope Pius XII, specifies that there are two types of martyrdom. There's white martyrdom and there's red martyrdom. Red martyrdom, like Matthew, was a shedding of the blood. Now, white martyrdom is what many of us have to go through. And that means a daily dying to oneself. This can be, on a daily basis, very challenging, very painful. We're called to die to our impatience, our self-will, our pride, our impatience, our anger, our gluttony, our lustful tendencies, our greed, our jealousy, our discouragement. All these are bad fruits, bad tendencies within us. And we're called to be white martyrs by dying to these on a daily basis. So the martyrdom of St. Matthew challenges us to, as St. Paul says, to a daily dying to self. And the last gift that was given to St. Matthew, and it's for you if you want it. is possibly the greatest of all the gifts. Matthew, by renouncing his money, his pleasure, his power, his social status, his security, Matthew gave all that away so that he could start developing a dynamic friendship with Jesus Christ. Matthew had a dynamic. When we say dynamic, the opposite would be static, stagnant. Matthew, from that moment on, became one of Jesus' best friends. And Matthew spent time in a very intimate way with Jesus Christ for close to 3 years. Matthew walked with Jesus. Matthew listened to the teachings of Jesus. Matthew saw Jesus walking on the water. Matthew was able to see Jesus raising people from the dead. Matthew saw Jesus casting out devils. Matthew wrote the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the long preaching of Jesus. We only have the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of St. Matthew, those three long, beautiful chapters. Matthew, unfortunately, well, Matthew was there at the Last Supper when Jesus instituted the Eucharist as well as the priesthood. And unfortunately, Matthew ran away from the cross, as did all the apostles except St. John the Evangelist. Matthew was there in the upper room when Jesus appeared after he rose from the dead, and he breathed upon Matthew as well as the other apostles, the Holy Spirit. Matthew was there when Jesus ascended into heaven, and now he sits at the right hand of God the Father. Matthew was in that first novena. Matthew spent 9 days and nine nights in the upper room with the other apostles and Mary, the mother of Jesus, as he waited for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Matthew was there when the Holy Spirit descended on Pentecost, the powerful wind, the fire that descended upon their heads. Matthew was present. And that transforming power of the Holy Spirit catapulted Matthew to be that great missionary. Matthew died. He died physically. But Matthew did not die spiritually. In the very moment St. Matthew is listening to us, St. Matthew is part of our perseverance family. Mentioned more than once that this is a family that we're forming, and every time we celebrate the life of a saint, we're inviting this saint to be part of our perseverance family. Matthew is a close, intimate friend with Jesus Christ. So I thought I would just finish up on Matthew by pointing out all the wonderful gifts that Christ gave him, because he said yes to following Christ and giving up the material things that gave him security. Let's pray that we, in imitation of St. Matthew, we would give up, renounce whatever is preventing us from giving ourselves to Christ, that we would become detached. We would strive for this holy indifference that Saint Ignatius speaks about. And I see holy indifference as true freedom, because we don't become a slave of any person, place, thing, idea, ideology. We're totally free because we're given to God. We're given to Jesus through Mary. May you become a true apostle and to be sent to the world to bring people to Christ. May you become a missionary. May you become an evangelist in your love for the Word of God, your love for the Gospel. May you become a martyr, someone willing to die to self on a daily basis. And especially, may Jesus Christ be your best friend in time and for all eternity. As they say in Spanish, el amigo que nunca falla. Jesus is the friend who will never fail us. Amen. So, my friends, we turn a corner now and we move from the letters of St. Paul now into an Old Testament book from what is called the Wisdom Literature. This is attributed to Solomon, many of these proverbs, these various proverbs. It's distilled wisdom put in these pithy, short phrases. So this is what, these are some of the proverbs we have today. And it starts out like this. Like a stream is the king's heart in the hand of the Lord. Like a stream is the king's heart in the hand of the Lord. Let's pray for upcoming elections, that our elected officials, that they would place their hearts in the hearts of the people and the hand of the Lord. That's the beginning of the Proverbs today. Wherever it pleases him, he directs it. Let's pray that our decisions, our political leaders, on a local level, on a state level, on a national level, that they would seek the common good. The common good. What is pleasing to God. And what is beneficial for our spiritual and moral well-being. Listen to what the Proverbs say afterward. All the ways of a man may be right in his own eyes, but it is the Lord who proves hearts. What the proverb is saying is that God is the one that reads our hearts. Others can judge us, criticize us, and condemn us, but if we're right with God, that's the most important thing. I invite all of you to have a good spiritual director and to have a good confessor so that you keep purifying yourselves and getting to know yourself better and getting to know God better. Then there's now a series of about 10 proverbs. Let's go through some of them. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. To do what is right and just. One of the reasons, my friends, that I speak a lot about saints, so we spent a long time talking about Saint Matthew. He's a biblical saint. And by the way, tomorrow we celebrate Padre Pio. Tomorrow's Padre Pio. Is because they chose to do what was right and just in the eyes of God. We all must have models to pattern our life upon. There are many bad models out there. The saints are the are the true models. They are the stars that are shining in heaven. We want to look up and gaze upon them so that we can arrive and one day be one of those stars that is shining in heaven, in the firmament of heaven. The next proverb, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the tillage of the wicked is sin. Let's pray, my friends, that we are not haughty and that we don't have a proud heart. But looking at the Sacred Heart of Jesus, listen to these words. Come to me, all of you are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm meek and humble of heart. We don't want to be haughty and proud of heart, but like Jesus, we want to be meek and humble of heart. By the way, what is humility anyway? There are many definitions, but I've coined a definition in my own words. I think it's pretty good. A humble person recognizes that all the evil that he has done, he's chosen to do that. It's his fault. There's all the good that I can do, all the good that you can do, is because God has given us gifts, and we've said yes to these gifts. In the words of the psalmist, not to me, but to you, O Lord, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We want to reflect the honor and glory to God. For that reason, it's a good idea when people do compliment us on some project or initiative or enterprise that we've carried out that seems to have success, let's always try to say, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. To attribute the honor and glory to God and not to ourselves. So a haughty and a proud heart, may God save us from that. Let's move on. Another proverb is this, the plans of the diligent are sure of profit, but all rash haste leads certainly to poverty. That's a very interesting proverb. And what the Word of God is saying is this, if we try to do things quickly, without reflection, impetuously, thoughtlessly, then it leads to poverty. There is a phrase in Spanish that goes like this, el perezoso trabaja doble. El perezoso trabaja doble is the lazy person works double, because a lazy person tries to cut corners, doesn't do his job well, has to repeat it. By repeating it, he becomes frustrated and frustrates others. My mom used to say, a job worth doing is worth doing well. So when we work, don't forget that our work, we're offering, everything that we do, we're offering it to God. We don't want to give God leftovers or a stale piece of bread. We don't want to give God a shoddy job, something that's done poorly. Let's give the Lord our best. So diligence is part of the virtue of laboriosity or work. The importance, my friends, of working hard. That was part of my homily on Sunday. We have to work hard with our body, our mind, and our soul. To train our bodies to be strong. That forms character. To cultivate our mind. God has given us an intellect. He's given us understanding. Let's cultivate our mind. Let's pray that we don't become mentally lazy. No. And to work hard spiritually, that's why we make our holy hour. We're striving for greater perfection through a deeper prayer life. Proverbs are very good, and I love to interpret them for you. Let's take another proverb. Whoever makes a fortune by a lying tongue is chasing a bubble over deadly snares. Wow, I like that. Whoever makes a fortune by a lying tongue is chasing a bubble over deadly snares. In a word, what the proverb is teaching us is the following. Always try to tell the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The eighth commandment is, we shall not lie or bear false witness. This is something we have to work on. We live in a world where lying is part and parcel of the social fabric in many ways. In our family, my mom and dad tried to instill two basic principles to help the family to function well, not to be a dysfunctional family. And the first rule was obedience. Mom and dad, they call the shots. The fourth commandment is honor and respect your parents. They have the last word. And we tried to observe that pretty well. The second rule was not to tell lies. Because if in a family, could be a blood family or a spiritual family, whatever it is, if it's filled with lies, you can't trust anyone. And the purpose, my friends, the purpose of speech, or communication is to communicate the truth in love. Try to remember that. Purpose of speech, to communicate the truth in love. But I like the way the proverb puts it. It's kind of funny. It says that the lying tongue is chasing a bubble, the meaning of bubble, over deadly snares, like you're about to fall into a trap or into a swamp. You end up by dirtying yourself or maybe breaking your leg. And you know, my friends, if you have the habit of lying, you tell one lie and then you have to tell another lie and then another lie and then another lie and then another lie. So you have to be covering up one lie by another lie. And before you know it, you're so entangled in lies that you don't know what the truth is. And also, people won't believe you. They're always going to have mental reservations that, you know, that person's always lying. Is he telling the truth or not? In even simple areas, you're probably going to laugh at this, but I know it's happened. You get one of those telemarketers that call you at home. And you hear the phone, you pick it up, and it's a telemarketer. Your name is John. They say, "Is John here?" And you say, "No, he's not here." And then you hang up. You lied. You lied. I know you. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Father, how are we going to get rid of this guy? I don't have time. Well, let me tell you what you should do. If your name is John, the telemarketer calls you. You should say, yes, I am John speaking to you, but I don't want your product. God bless you, and hang up. Now, the person might get angry. You gave him a blessing. Yeah, not bad. But if you were timing my conversation, that was all done in 5 seconds. So you really didn't waste time. But you did not lie. Classical example also of how much damage lie can be is the following. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Bueno. Hello? Who is it? La Tia Lupe. Ah, La Tia Lupe. What do you want, Tia Lupe? I want to speak to your mom. So the little girl goes to her mom, that's you, and says, you know, it's the Tia Lupe she wants to talk to you. Ay, oh, no. No, 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 no. Tell Tia Lupe that I'm not here. So the little girl runs back to the phone, picks up the phone, says, Tia Lupe, my mom wanted to tell you that she's not here. You like that one? I thought you would. I can already see a lot of you are kind of laughing at that. And it's comical, it is. And it happens. It's comical, true. However, it's damaging. There's a double sin there. First sin is that you're lying. Second sin is that you're scandalizing your little daughter. And you're paving the way that your daughter is going to be like you in that area. Your little daughter is going to be a liar. A chronic liar. So let's get in the habit, following these proverbs, let's get in the habit to always strive to live in the truth, to tell the truth. And Jesus says, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He says, the truth will set you free. Let's move on. The proverb says, the soul of the wicked man desires evil. His neighbor finds no pity in his eyes. There are wicked people. A wicked person is bent on harming another person, damaging another person. The opposite of a wicked person is a person that has goodness, kindness, love, compassion, concern. Let's pray that we would never have a wicked heart. The next proverb. When the arrogant man is punished, the simple are the wiser. When the wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge. So, we're all called to be wise. And we must recognize that we don't know it all. In other words, we're in a constant process of learning. Jesus is our master, Jesus is our teacher, and we are his students. We are his disciples. One of the talks last week, I made the comment that I believe one of the most wise, intelligent men in the world, who is still living today, is Emeritus Pope Benedict XVI. His name was Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. Remember one occasion he was going on vacation, I think it was to Castel Gandolfo, where the Pope would go on vacation during the summer months, at least for a couple of weeks. And he had like a duffel bag filled with books. You'd think someone as brilliant as this man, because he's really brilliant, why would he have to take the books? Because even someone as brilliant, and I say someone as brilliant as Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI, recognized that he still had to grow in wisdom. He still had to learn. When our children come in to catechism for First Communion, when our teenagers that are coming in today in preparation for their confirmation, when children and teens come in for their catechetical formation, the parents also come in. And I teach the parents. Why? Because as the church teaches very wisely that the primary teachers of children and the young people are the parents. I repeat, the primary teachers of the young people are the parents. This is called permanent formation. And I love to do it. You get the parents teaching them how to pray, teach them the commandments, teach them the sacraments, teach them the basics of the Bible. Once they know the basics, it's not that they have to be theologians after our class. They're not going to be theologians, but if they can get to know the basics, they get to know the basics, that will be sufficient for them to get to heaven and to get their kids into heaven. Once they get to heaven, they get their kids into heaven. That's the most important thing in the world. Yes. So, we have to strive constantly to grow in wisdom. That means we are constantly learners at the foot of Jesus Christ. The last proverb is, he who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will himself also call and not be heard by God. That's a powerful proverb. He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will himself also call and not be heard. The poor. What you might do to put into practice this last proverb is to go through the corporal works of mercy and then the spiritual works of mercy. And maybe choose one of the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy and see how you can put that into practice. If you like, there's a very good biblical passage that fleshes out the corporal works of mercy. And that would be Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus gives a list of the corporal works of mercy, and we're going to be judged on those, as we hear from the Proverbs today. In which Jesus says, I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was a foreigner or an immigrant, and you opened up your arms to receive me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was imprisoned. You came to visit me. When? And Jesus will say, whenever you did this to the least of my brothers, then you did it to me. So which of those corporal works of mercy can you put into practice? The spiritual works of mercy, I would like to just give you one or two. One would be to instruct the ignorant. And the second would be to counsel the doubtful. There are another five, but those are two. To instruct the ignorant, and to counsel the doubtful. Start in your own family with your children. Now, the gospel today, we only have a couple minutes, but I'll go through it with you. It's Jesus is preaching to the multitude. And some of the crowd said that, Jesus, your brothers, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they wish to see you. So in this we see the presence of Mary following Jesus somewhat in the background. This is the public life of Christ. Now Jesus is going to respond in a very interesting way. He says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it. What a beautiful response of Jesus. So you have Mary's mothers outside and his friends that are following Jesus, and they want to see him. And Jesus says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Those who hear the word of God and act on it. What Jesus is really saying here is this. Mary is mother. Mary is the biological mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Mary is also, Mary is this, is our spiritual mother. As Jesus hung on the cross, we celebrate Our Lady of Sorrows last week. And he looked on from the cross upon the two that he loved most, Mary, his mother, and St. John the Evangelist. He said, woman, behold thy son. Then to the beloved disciple, behold your mother. From that moment, the beloved disciple took Mary into his home. In that precise moment, Mary was becoming the universal mother, the mother of the whole world, in the economy of grace, in the spiritual realm. And if you like the beautiful image you have behind, it's Our Lady Guadalupe. What did she say to Juan Diego? Do not be afraid. Am I not your mother? Am I not your mother? I have you in the crossing of my arms, meaning my heart. You are in my shadow. meaning you're always present to me. And you are below the opening in my apron. Mary saying, you're in my womb because I want to form you. As I form my son, our Lord and Savior, as I form my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, within my womb, I want to form you into another Christ. So that you can say with the Apostle St. Paul these words, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. So my friends, we have a wonderful, wonderful spiritual mother. And that is Mary. Mary is the mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church. And the Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.